Good morning. Before we continue on, I'd like to briefly review some of the halakhas we went through at the end of last week's shiur. What we were discussing was the definition of arkos. Historically, it was very clear-cut. Bezdin was Bezdin. You went to a rav, a dayan, that paskin al pi halakha. If you went to civil court, the courts were tied to some foreign religion in avodah zarah. And in such a case, it's very clear that when a person chooses not to come to Bez and he chooses instead to go to a Goyish or religious court, he's being miyakir alilim, he's giving a hashivus to an avodah zarah, and it's a tremendous chilul Hashem. The Teshbeitz and the Shalos Teshuvos Yochanan and Vayas point out they lived in countries where the Goyish courts was. They were Islamic, actually, and they presumed that they did not have a din of an avodah zarah. Nevertheless, they say the concept of arkos still applies. You don't need a chalos din avodah zarah as long as it's a goyish court with a goyish belief system that will qualify. The Chazon Ish, and it's meduyik from a number of achronim that ask their deal with Rosh Hashanah, which we'll get to later, take it a step further. And what they say is, even if you're dealing with a secular court, which is not tied to any particular Goyish or religious belief, the very fact that it is an alternate set of values and an alternate judicial system means that it will be arkos. You're rejecting halacha, you're deciding that you do not want to follow Chosh Mishpat, you want to follow a foreign body of law, and therefore, although it's not avodah zarah, it's not. It perhaps doesn't have quite that chomer. It still is a rejection of halacha, and would still be a chilul Hashem. Now that's as far as the definition of the courts. What happens if you go to civil court, and your mazel has it, you have a nice frum Jewish judge? Is that arkos or not? So if arkos is, as we've explained, the fact that you're rejecting halacha, and the fact that you're accepting a foreign body of law, then the issue is not whether the judge is wearing a yarmulke or a turban. The issue is what set of laws he's applying. And therefore, if he's applying a foreign body of law, the fact that he's Jewish will not make a difference. In fact, the Chazon Ish writes, and he's talking about setting up a judicial system in Eretz Yisrael that's going to work, you know, on other laws. He says it's worse to go to a Jewish judge or Jewish judicial system that's not based on halacha, then goyim. Because when you go to if you're in a goyish country and they have their own laws, so goyim, they have a mitzvah of dinim. According to most poskim, they can do whatever laws they want. So if you're going there, it's not what's, you know. So the problem is that you're going there, but you know, zohu. If you're dealing with a Jewish country that creates laws that are not consistent with halacha, Chazon Ish that says that's a much bigger Chil Hashem and a much bigger Miyakir Elilum and rejection of Halacha. Now, the inverted case, what happens if you go to a Beis Din? And you find a Beis Din that happen to have a couple of Goyim that know Halacha very well. In other words, you're going to a Goyish judge who's going to apply Chosh and Mishpat. Now, the Poskim don't talk about this for some reason. Probably, I guess, the yeshivas back then didn't accept goyim. But there is a related case by a pshara. If you go to a judge for a pshara, for a compromise. So over here, the Mechaber and Simon Samaches paskins that if a goy is the one that makes the pshara, it's not binding. Even if you make the kinyanim, you do everything right, you throw it out. The Kesem Mishnah and the Minchas Pitim both explain. We throw it out because we assume that the process wasn't done correctly. But if they did everything right, if you made a kinyan, you did what you followed the rules that are required for mediation, for a pshara, there the Kesem Mishnah and Minchas Pitim both say, it's binding. Even though it's a goy, it's not a problem. So in such a case, where it wasn't a real litigation, it was a pshara, and pshara, we'll see, there's no isra arkois according to many poskim. So even though the judge is a goy, it's not a problem. This sma happens to argue, and this sma says since pshara is still called mishpat, and a goy is possible for mishpat, it's in the Yisra HaKais, even though it's only a pshara, the priest and the sma paskin, it will not work. The sma seems to understand the Yisra HaKais, we look at the person, even though it's mediation, you know, or it's arbitrary, you're not really applying any set of laws. Going to a goy to resolve a dispute, that itself is archais, and therefore the priest of Paskins, even though it's not a set of laws, still it would be a problem. So I don't see why not, because in that case you're just representing, at least in the United States, Eretz Yisrael might be more chomer, but over here the goyim have a chiyuv to set up dinim. And they are hiring you to enforce or to apply these set of dinim. If two Jews come in front of you, they have an isser of coming in front of you, but you're not there making decisions. You know, you don't have an option of whether you want to apply civil law or chashim mishpat. So I don't see the isser. I don't think there's a chiyuv to. It might be a good idea, but I don't think there's a chiyuv to because he's just a shliach of the goy to do what he was hired by the goy to do. And more than that, when two Jews come in front of an arkois, I don't think the goy is doing anything wrong. They have an obligation of dinim to set up a mishpat, to set up a judicial system. They did that. Now, the litigants have no business coming and accepting that they should be in Bezdin. But I don't think the goy is doing anything wrong by passing. Even then, again, the psak is, a judge is just hired on behalf of the judicial system, and he's just following the rules and what he was hired to do. I don't think it would be an issue.
What is the basis of the smart in terms of what is the problem?
The smart seems to understand that accepting a goy, using a goy to resolve your disputes, that itself is miyaker alilim, or Mechil Hashem, the fact that you have to come to a goy to use his judgment and his hachra of what's right. So it might not be a foreign judicial system, but the fact that the Jew is coming to the goy for his opinion and he's listening and abiding by what his sense of fairness is, the Sma holds that itself would be Mechil Hashem. The Sma seems to be a Das Yachid in this Nakuda. Pashtasi would. Okay, we'll get back to that soon, but he would argue on that. The Sma in this included does seem to be a Das Yachid. So this is as far as accepting a particular goy to resolve a dispute. What we mentioned last week also was what happens if when the parties originally start the contract, not when there's a fight, when they originally go into the deal, they go into the deal and they want to say that we're accepting all the responsibilities based on civil law. So over here, the Sma says that if you have greater rights under civil law than you would have in halacha, it works. The Sma seems to be l'shitasa. The issue is going to a goy. The issue is not the foreign body of law. And therefore, you want to accept a foreign body of law if you have greater rights, the Sma has no problem with that. The issue is only going to the arkoi is going in front of a goy. Most poskim argue on the sma, and they say accepting the foreign body of law is going to be usur. And because of that, the Rosh says that when you do have in a contract a clause that says that we're going to abide by the laws of the state of New York and New Jersey, we interpret this to mean that if the other party is a loitzai yisdin, he won't come to Bezdin, then I have the right to go to court and enforce these rights. But if he is willing to come to Bezdin, according to the Rosh, then this clause is meaningless. What it accomplishes is that although we discuss that when you have a fight with someone and he won't come to Bezdin will give you a heter arkois. Bezdin will after sending a hazmana, give you reshus to go to court. If you have a contract that says the parties agree to litigate in court, then you don't need to go through Bezdin. If the other party refuses to come to, says he's not coming to Bezdin, you don't have to get reshus. You can act on your own according to many poskim. But in a case where he's willing to come to Bezdin, there the Rosh says even such a clause will not allow you to bypass the Bezdin system and you will have to go to a Din Torah. It's only when he refuses to come, you don't need a formal reshus Bezdin according to the Rosh, and that is how most poskim interpret such clauses. Yes, most Batei Din, if you have such a clause, they'll ignore it. But in a case where the other party refuses to come to Beis Din and you therefore litigate in court, they will not do anything. It's still a good idea to get Rishus Beis Din, because if you ever want to go after him for your court costs that you're entitled to because he forced you to go to court, you'll only be able to get that if you got a formal Rishus Beis Din. But if that's not your issue, if it's not what's bothering you, and the person refuses to come to Beis Din, you don't need to go through the process, and you would be able to sue him directly. Now that's as far. Okay, we'll get to an injunction. We'll get to that towards the end of this year. So the Rush says that when you put in such a contract, we interpret it to mean that in the event he won't come to Beis Din, then I have the right to go to court without Rishus Beis Din. And that itself is not an Issar Kois. However, if Yitakim didn't mean that, if you write in clearly, I'm accepting Arkois and no matter what, I'm going to Arkois. So the Rush, and it's more clear in the Taz, say that would be an Issar Kois putting it in. No, so the difference is, according to the Amshul Shalom, the difference is that when you have it in, you don't even need Rishus Beis Din. You don't need to go through the process. Once he refuses to come to a Din Torah, you go sue him. Without this clause, you would have to go through the process of trying to bring him to a Din Torah and getting a formal Rishus Beis Din. So what you're accomplishing is you're cutting it out. You'll have to ask a shayla. I can hear that it would be mutter, but you know, you'll have to ask that Beis Din what their opinion. What? You'll have to ask a shayla. No, but his difference is over here. He's willing to come to Beis Din, just not this particular Beis Din. Right. You know the issue. Okay. It's a valid point. If it comes up, you'll ask a shayla at that time. So that's as far as the choice of law provision where you're right that you're willing to accept a particular Beis Din. So we assume that you can go to court. We assume it just means if he is a loitzai is din. Now there are cholkim on this, and there are many achronim that point out in a case that it's clear that it's not the party's intent. When they signed this contract, they never heard of Beis Din, or especially if one or both of the parties wasn't from at that point. And it's clear as day that at the time they signed the contract, they meant, we are going to court. Here, there are many achroinim that do paskin like the Sma, and I'm not so sure what the halacha would be. I know the Batei Din today are not very quick to be simuch on this, and they will probably ignore the clause. But there are many, many achroinim and shuvos that say that in such a case where it's clear they meant to accept the Goyish laws, although you have to go to Beis Din, Beis Din should apply civil law. So certainly at least, if you have such a contract, and let's take a case where the parties ended up going to court Shalai Kedin, and after one of them lost, they want to go ahead and they say, we want to do shuv, we want to follow halacha. So we pointed out 2 weeks ago, ain't niskaken. If you go to court, there's no double jeopardy, Beis Din will not deal with the case. Now, we pointed out that there's a huge machlokes what the pshat in this is. The Nesivus and many of the standard Achroinim understood, Einis Kaka means Beis Din won't get involved. But really, internally, everyone has their own responsibility to figure out who's right al pi halacha and make sure you don't take any money that you're not entitled to. That was the Nesivus. There was another Shita based on a Tumim, which a minority of Achroinim went with, that no. Once you go to court, you're accepting their verdict, and whatever the verdict is, it is, and al pi halacha, you're entitled to it because it was kibbul alayim. You rolled the dice, you took a chance, you're stuck with whatever the verdict is, and you're entitled to that money. Now, although it was a machlokes over there, and most poskim seem to be machmir and say that al pi din, you have to follow halacha, And while Bezdin won't deal with the matter, you have a personal responsibility to do what's right. If the contract said that you'll follow civil law, and there's reason to believe the parties meant it, now already we have a sex cycle. We have many shitas that say that when you accept civil law, Bezdin has to apply that. You have a minority of shitas that say even when there was no contract, if both parties willingly went to court, although it was usur, they are stuck with a verdict. So with the two of them together, I think the muhzik would certainly prevail, and he would not have to return the money, even if he knows he got more than he is entitled to al pi halacha. But again, it's a shayla, and if it comes up, you'll be shayla etzer.
How is Bezdin allowed to adjudicate the civil law?
So according to the Sma, according to these shitas, Eila Mishpatim means that you have to apply halacha. But if you and I have a contract, we can make up whatever terms we want. So the terms that we make up, we happen to accept all of the rules that happen to say in a certain law book, according to these shitas, we have the right to do that. Now the Taz is bothered by what you're saying. The Taz says it's aser, it's you're making masna mashkas of a Torah, and we will throw it out. But that is the machlokes, how far to take it, and whether you can accept the rules as a davar sheva mamon. Because it's davar sheva mamon, but it does say the elam mishpatim. There is an iser of arkois. So what the question boils down to is the iser arkois. Is that an iser of when we have a dispute and we have to resolve it? So going to arkois is going to be awesome. What happens if before the fact we go into a deal and we say we're going to accept all the responsibilities or in all the obligations as per civil law? So the Taz and there's a Mashmois in the Rajba say that's also. The Isra Arkois is accepting the foreign body of law. So going into a deal and saying we're going to go into the deal accepting that foreign body of law is just as also. And so the Taz says it will never work. This Sma seems to argue and say the Isra is only when there's an issue, when there's a dispute, and we're going to a goy to resolve it. But if before the fact we enter a deal and I accept all the responsibilities of the Goyish law, so I can accept any responsibilities. So if I decide to just do whatever it says in that book, they seem to say that it would work. And that seems to be the Yisrael Machlokes where the Yisrael Akoyis applies. The Taz says we just ignore it. And again, the Rosh learns we assume it means only when if the person is a Loitzai is din. So it won't void the rest of the contract. It'll just mean that this particular point will not be relevant unless the person refuses to come to Bezdin. Now, just to take this point a step further, what we discussed last week is an arbitration panel. You have a diamond club, you have the securities industry, where you have an industry where they set up an arbitration panel to resolve disputes. So we pointed out there are two types of arbitration. If the arbitration panel does not have a set of formal rules, they're just going to do what they think is fair. And today, very often, when there are disputes, especially within the community, people do not want to go to a Bezdin. They don't want to go to an Entira. They find an Askin, they go to him, and he says what he thinks is fair. In those cases, Kuli Amaloi Pligi is going to be Mutter. It's not our Koyis. There's no foreign set of laws. If the panel is a goy, then according to the Drisha and Samaches, you'll have a problem. But according to everyone else, as long as it's not a foreign set of laws, they're just going to do what's fair, it will be mutter. On the other hand, if they have a set of rules that they follow, so this leads us to a problem. On one hand, we have the Rajba and the Taz that seems to say any time you're accepting a foreign body of rules, that's going to be our koyis. On the other hand, there's a Rashach, which is quoted by Ruki Veger, that says that if there's a minhug, that any issue goes to a panel of Seichrim, it's mutter. And the question is, how do these two halachos stem? So there are two basic approaches. The Boi Chai says that the difference is, in the case of the Rajba, you're dealing with Yerusha, you're accepting civil law, that's going to be Aser. In the case of the Rashach, you're dealing with Mekach u'Memkar. It was a business deal. In this industry, if you had to follow halacha, if you had to go to a din Torah over every issue, it wouldn't work. Because it wouldn't work, if there is a minhag that when you deal with someone in such an industry, you follow the industry rules and you let the industry panel resolve it, right there the Boi Chai says it would be mutter. Based on that, Again, I don't know each of the diamond clay. I don't know each of these panels how they work. If they don't have set rules, according to everyone, it's mutter. If they do have set rules, then we have to look at why are the parties going there. If they're going there just because it's a bit more convenient than a din Torah, so that would be our case, and that would be a problem. On the other hand, if they're going there, and I would presume this is the case in most instances, they set up a panel because the industry has specific needs, and the industry runs in a certain way, and therefore you have to have rules and deal with disputes in a certain way. So then, that's not exactly the case with the Rashach, and that would be mutter. So the crucial point, according to the Baruch Chai, would be, why are you accepting these rules? If you're just accepting them because you don't want halacha, that's a problem. If you're accepting them because this business, this industry needs this type of rules to function, that would be fine. Based on that, in Eretz Yisrael, there are many issues with you have an apartment building. Now, in theory, every time the boiler breaks, you can start having a fight over who pays for it, the upstairs, the downstairs, the elevator. There, you can be fighting all day exactly how to divide every expense. So there, now they have in Eretz Yisrael, there's a quasi-governmental body that set up a list of rules and how you split expenses and deals with all of the common issues that come up. So most places can say there's nothing wrong with accepting it, although it's a foreign body of rules, since it is not practical for every time the elevator to break to bring every member of the apartment building to a din Torah. It's much simpler and makes much more sense just to have a set of rules that we just follow these rules without asking any questions. So in such a case, according to most Pesachim, there's nothing wrong with accepting it, and that is what most people do in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now that everyone made it through the first 3.5 shiurim on our kois, we went through all of the chumras and how severe the isser is. We'll spend a little time now going through some of the kulos and some of the exceptions. The first, and unfortunately today, this is probably the most common shayla that comes up with our kois, is the concept of a choyv bor. What happens if you lend someone money? You have a note. He owes the money back, but, as is all too common today, he's not paying. His business is not doing very well. You're having a hard time collecting. Are you allowed to sue him in court, or do you have to go through a beis din? So over here, the Marsham writes that although, technically speaking, it should have to go to Bezdin, he says over, he's found a psak written that by a choyv borer, when there's no litigation, everyone knows the money is owed. So here it's not a question of litigating. Here it's a question of collecting. In such a case, since today, Bezdin does not have the ability to collect money, Bezdin cannot foreclose on a house, Bezdin cannot garnish a person's wages. Therefore, the Marsham says that Me'ikar Hadin, if it's a Choyv Borer, it's undisputed, it's just a question of collecting the debt, there's no Chiv to go through Bezdin, and you can go straight to court. He says it's a Midas Chasidus to send the Hazmana anyway, but strictly Al Pidin, you're not Mechoyev to. The Emes Yaakov is Mitzade that he said the point is it's not litigation. You're just collecting, it's not. There's no Miyaker Alilim, there's no Chil Hashem, because it's just a question of collection. To add to that, the other point is that Bezdin doesn't have the ability to do it. It's only a Chil Hashem when I can go to Bezdin, I can go to court. So if I choose to go to court and I'm rejecting Halacha, there we can talk about Miyaker Alilim and a Chil Hashem. But if I'm asking the court to do something that Bezdin cannot do, I'm asking them to garnish wages, I'm asking them to put a lien on a property, I'm asking them to do something that an arbitration panel cannot do, then it is not a Chil Hashem, it is not a rejection of Halacha. So the Marash says that first of all, it's a Chiddush. As Marsham himself points out, there's not much of a Makar for this. But Marash says in practical sense, this Heter is not going to apply very often. Because even if we all agree, the fellow borrowed $10,000, he owes it back. It's a choyv borer. So if he has $10,000 of cash in his pocket, and he's just not paying you, and you want to go to our kois to force him to pay what everyone agrees and knows he has to pay, there we can talk about Marsham's heter. However, what happens if the person doesn't have the money? So what's going to happen then? They went to Beis Din, and a person owes money he doesn't have. So there's a din of Lesila Kinesha, there's a din of Mesadron Lebal Choyv. Bezdin, there's a certain amount of assets you're allowed to keep. A certain amount of assets Bezdin will sell in order to satisfy your creditors. Zagamarash, if the person doesn't have money and you go to court, so the courts have their own rules, how much of their wages they'll garnish, what they'll leave you. They will evict you from your house. They won't evict. They have their own set of rules. But the moment we have to determine what you are entitled to take and what you're not entitled to take, now, right, we're back to a shaila in halacha. And the Zok Marash, that's something you cannot submit to the court and let the judge decide what to seize and what to leave the person. That's a halacha shaila, and that already will need a bezdin. Obviously, if he's a loitzayis din, you'll get a heter. But in the absence of that, he says there is a chiyuv even by a choyv bar, or even if you know the money is owed, since we have to determine what you can seize, it's not so simple. Now, in a practical sense, today the shaylos usually come up in the context there's a mortgage note or in a promissory note. In such a case, I don't think the Marash's objection would apply, because when you have a mortgage note, the borrower is accepting upon himself all the responsibilities of a mortgage. The mortgage is a legal concept that is fairly well defined, and therefore the borrower will not be able to say, "I'm living in the house at Masadra and I have the right to keep it." He gave the lender the right to seize this property. So in such a case, I do not believe the Marash's objection would apply, and according to the Marasham, you'd have the right to go straight to court to foreclose on the mortgage. Where you run into problems is that our mortgage note is usually accompanied by a heter iska. And on the iska itself, you may have issues if there was a loss, if there are no profits, you may run into shilas of ribis of what you could take and what you can't take. And in such a case, that's something which clearly would need a bezdin. But if at this point you're happy to get the principal and that's all the property is worth now anyway, and there's no litigation on that according to Marasham, it would be mutter to go straight to our kois. Again, I mean, this chasidus to send a hazmana, but not strictly. That's true. If you have a number of creditors and they have an issue among themselves, who comes first? That's clearly not a chayiv barer, and that's something that a bezdin would have to deal with. But until that happens, until you have the conflicting creditors trying to seize it, then if the issue is between the creditor and the debtor, then that would still be a chayiv barer. Now whenever what? Correct. You have a third mortgage on the property. I wish you much hatzlacha. Now, whenever a person uses this heter of a chayv barer, what always happens is that if it does come to a din Torah at the end, the tayin pops up. What he has to do is he wants to make it not a chayv barer. So they come up with every kind of a dray why the money is not really owed. Now, the bezin is going to have to use their judgment. The fact that the tayin comes up with a fakrum teshtekel Torah, why his client is really potter, doesn't mean it's not a chayv barer. But if there is a meaningful question and meaningful shaila in halacha, whether the money is really owed, then already it's not a chayiv barer, and then this heter would not apply. If a party doesn't listen to a psak, then bezdin will give a heter akois. In fact, according to many shitas, once there is a psak din, if it's not complied with, you may not even need a heter akois. That might be, it's certainly a chayv barer, but it might be better going to court saying, "I have a psak from a bezdin, please enforce it," because the person is not listening, is not being the akar lila. It's forcing a misarev to do what he has to do. That's only when he's claiming, "I'm ready to bring Edom. I'm prepared to bring Edom, I'm prepared to make a Shavuah." If he's not prepared to bring it, if he doesn't have Edom and he's not prepared to make a Shavuah, then it still is likely a chayv barer. But it does certainly complicate the matter and make it less likely for it to be a clean chayiv bar. Now, a related concept is, and this is goes back to the point that you brought up, is very often people will have a dispute, and they're afraid if they go through the bezdin process, by the time they finish, the assets, whatever they're fighting over, will be long gone. So they would like to go to court for an injunction, for a temporary restraining order, and then they're willing to go to Bezdin. So over here, there's a tshuva from Maram Mipanu, Simon Nun Aleph, And he says, as long as you meet four conditions, he says, you're allowed to do that. He says, it has to be something where if you do not file for the injunction, there's going to be a hefset. You're going to lose. You can't deal with it later. You know, if your counterparty is a wealthy individual, then whether or not you get this, you know, and you're just fighting over, you know, over certain funds, so even if you don't get the injunction, so you'll get it from other assets that he has. This heter will apply only when you need to take immediate action. The heter also applies only when Bezdin is not capable of giving you this protection. If you can get the equal from Bezdin, but it didn't do put out an equal, and if that will be effective, then there's no heter to go to court. But in a case where the person is a loitzai is din, or you have reason to suspect he will not honor the equal from a Bezdin, so then you can do this. What you also have to be careful with is you can only do it al minas to come back to Bezdin afterwards to resolve the issue. You know, you can go to court to get the injunction, but at the same time, and most batei din will insist that you sign a shtar beruin before you go to court. You have a shtar beruin, you signed in so that as soon as you get the injunction, you will then go back to Bezdin and you've protected yourself. You'll go to Bezdin to actually litigate the matter to have the din Torah. This is just there to protect your rights, that the asset doesn't disappear before there is an actual psak. The last condition is that it's only a heter to get an equal. The courts can freeze the asset. They can prevent the person from transferring it to a third party. If you're asking the court to seize assets or to take something, to either hold it by the courts, by a third party, that already is not an equal. That already is a maisa bezdin, if you will. And that's something which would be usur even under these conditions. So to summarize, if you do need an injunction to protect your rights, and Bezdin cannot protect your rights without you going to court, then it's mutter, but you have to be careful that, again, you're only asking for an injunction, you're not asking for anything more. Now, in reality, to get an injunction, you have to file a lawsuit. And the mitzius is, once that happens, the person has to defend himself, so he files a counter motion. And it very often it tends to snowball. What starts off as a small action just to get an injunction can end up being into full-blown litigation, and therefore the batei din are a little bit hesitant to give, you know, be materit. But as a matter of halacha, if you're able to limit it, if you're able to just go for the injunction and stop there it would be mutter as long as you need it to protect your rights. Okay, it's not a question of how quick, of how limited. It's a question of if all you're doing is asking the court to put an injunction. So according to Maharal Mipano, that is mutter. One thing, a word of caution is, it's not a heter to be meiser. You can deal with the actual matter that's in front of you. You can present your side of the story. It's not a heter to either to master him on criminal activity, and it's not a heter to go further. But because he's going to have to defend himself, and he's going to be filing counter motions and counter, and who knows what, it does tend to snowball. But as a matter of strict halacha, if you're going to lose, if you need it to protect your rights, there is makom to be mekom. You'll have to speak to the Bezdin. It really depends on whether there's a fear that he's a loitzai is din. To the extent that the person is a loitzai is din, then the statute of limitations is not relevant. There'll be a psak din, and it will hopefully be obeyed. On the other hand, if Bezdin has reason to believe that he will not listen to the ultimate psak, and by not filing, the clock is still running, then I would imagine Bezdin will give you a heter, but something to be discussed. From a legal point of view, if you sue someone for arbitration over a particular matter, does that stop the statute of limitations clock? Yeah, mandatory, but your point is that if you don't, you have to file this because there's a statute of limitations. If you end up going to a din Torah and signing an arbitration agreement over this matter, and then for whatever reason the parties abandon the arbitration, what would happen to the statute then?
Well, if you sign an arbitration agreement,
then you're in the statute. Okay, so then in that case there's no reason to file. You can just sign the arbitration agreement. Oh, by the time he signs on, you'll lose it. Okay, so then Erech Rami, if you have reason, if the Beis Din has any reason to believe he will be a loitzai Yez Din and he will not listen to the psak, they will allow you to do it. Again, you'll have to speak to the Beis Din in each case, but it's likely that they will allow you to file the case. They may ask you to do both. They may ask you to come to arbitration to see what you're entitled to al-pi halacha, but they'll allow you to go with a civil litigation just to protect your rights. As far as the Miyakir Alilim and the Chilul Hashem, to the extent that the court is dealing with a bankruptcy or dealing with an issue with many non-Jewish entities, and therefore it has to be in court, and by not filing, the Beis Din can't, the psak from a Beis Din will not help you with respect to any of the other creditors, arguably it would not be a Chilul Hashem or Miyakir Alilim. So you'll have to deal with it, talk to a Beis Din, but I would imagine they would certainly allow you to file, and just you'll have to determine what you're entitled to al-pi halacha. No. Threatening, if you cannot extort money from someone by threatening to do something that al-pi halacha you're not allowed to do. The same way you can't extort money by threatening to hit him, you can't extort money by threatening to sue him. In halacha, they're much the same. What is the prohibition? So the money that you get will probably be gezel. There's a Rashba that discusses that. That's assuming that you're not entitled to al-pi din. The Chazon Ish points out it's Rosh Olam Asaka Esreyacha. Even threatening to hit someone is also aser even before you hit. So threatening to go to Arkoyis would be a similar point. Okay. No. There is no lav of Mesira. Mesira is a Ritech. It's not a separate lav. Arkoyis and Mesira are used interchangeably in certain cases in Halacha, because many cases, by going into Arkoyis, that is the equivalent of Mesira, because you're airing all of your dirty laundry in front of a goy, which at least in those times was a regular case of Mesira. It would generally not be mutter. To protect your monetary rights is generally not a hetzer to be moiser. When the other person refuses to come to Beis Din, and because he's a messiah of love, who didn't get a hetzer arkois, then we pointed out from Mishnah Shmuel and Negros Moshe, as a result of litigation he gets himself into trouble, he has no one to blame but himself. But if he was never messiah, if you're just doing it to protect yourself, and you want to go ahead and do things that will potentially incriminate him, you have a very serious child on your hand, and I don't think anyone will be quick to be matter. Probably not. No Beis Din is... The point of no Beis Din, there is a machlokes, but there are shittas that say if there's no Beis Din, it's not miyakir alilim, because there's no option. You know, afal pi kein, the Rashba says if there is no Beis Din, the people have a responsibility to set up three baal batim that will deal with the matters to prevent people to go into Arkois. But fine, kol zman that doesn't happen, there are shittas that will hold it will be mutter. To be maser and to put someone in jail just because he owes you a couple of dollars, I don't know of any... Okay, that's a different story. Maybe there's a chiv to put him in jail. But that's the heter is not going to be because Beis Din can't deal with it. The heter is going to be that such a person, it needs to be done, and al-pi dinam achus adina, it could be done, and that's... That's true. But now that they don't, it's not... When you're dealing with dollars and cents, when there is no Beis Din, and that you're in a place of arkois, that many shittas that say, to get what you're entitled to al-pi halacha, you can sue him in court. That's what you're entitled to al-pi halacha. If he's going to be punished in a way which al-pi halacha he is not necessarily liable for, then it's a whole different shaila. Now there will be cases where the person is a danger to society. He has to be stopped. However you can stop him. But that is a completely separate issue, and that's something which, call a rav first. Okay, we're running out of time. Just the one point that we didn't get to, which Amir Tashem will discuss next week, is. We got into this topic because we were discussing car accidents. And we went through all of the different gedarim of Echad Bershos, Echad Shalai Bershos, and Hiziku, Huzku, all the different chalukim. Now, I'm sure Most people here do not remember all the details. But one thing is clear is that the halachos and the gedorim of who's responsible when there's a car accident is very different than what happens under civil law. So the question is, if you get into a car accident with another frumyid, do you have the right to sue the person or to file an insurance claim? Or is there an isra'a kois? And do you have a chiyuv to go to Bezdin? And that, in Mirat Hashem, we'll deal with next week.